weapons of war. No more will we make missiles. We're gonna do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried.
This is the Quality News Network. The Senate has rejected a call to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq by the end of the year. House Republicans say a victory there is vital to the global war on terror. In Washington, military officials say the man who claims to be the new head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq is an Egyptian explosives expert. He reportedly received his training in Afghanistan and has worked closely with Osama bin Laden's deputy. In Iraq, officials say that documents seized from the hideout of former al-Qaeda leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi show the insurgency is weakening. Since Zarqawi's death last week, 104 insurgents have been killed in more than 450 raids. The Associated Press reports that journalists have been banned from Guantanamo Bay for the foreseeable future. The Pentagon says that's because guards and base officials are busy investigating the recent suicides there, as well as trying to quell growing discontent. But human rights groups say journalists are needed there now more than ever. The Supreme Court has ruled that police who have warrants can enter homes without knocking first and seize evidence, but the ruling was not unanimous. A dissenting vote states that the decision goes against court precedent and weakens constitutional protections. At the White House, President Bush has signed into law a bill that raises the fines for indecent broadcasts. Radio and television stations now face a $325,000 fine per violation if the material exceeds the bounds of decency. President Bush also signed legislation aimed at minor safety. It comes after the January Sago mine disaster in which 12 miners died. So far this year, 33 coal miners have been killed on the job. The latest Wall Street Journal NBC News poll shows President Bush has slightly higher approval numbers. Mr. Bush's job approval rating now stands at 37%, up 1 point since April. That same poll reveals only 23% approve of the job Congress is doing, 64% disapprove. In Flagstaff, Arizona, fire crews are battling wildfires amid severe drought conditions. Hundreds of residents have evacuated in Arizona and Colorado. In northern Sri Lanka today, 64 people were killed when their bus hit a landmine. Officials also reported 86 injuries in the worst act of violence there since 2002. In Indonesia, rescuers are digging through debris to reach people trapped when the country's most volatile volcano finally erupted today. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
Bill Gates is handing over the reins of the day-to-day operation of Microsoft to his chief technical officer. He says he plans to focus more energy on the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Facing heat from an $11 billion accounting scandal, Fannie Mae's CEO was questioned today at a Senate hearing. One senator suggested he donate to charity the bonus money he received between 2000 and 2004. Last week, the number of newly laid off workers who filed for unemployment fell to the lowest level in nearly 4 months. It was down to 295,000. The Federal Reserve reports that industrial production fell last month. Output at U.S. factories, mines, and utilities was down 0.1%. There was also a slowdown in the auto industry, appliances, and other big-ticket items. The world's third largest recording label has settled a two-year payola investigation. EMI was accused of accepting payments from artists to play their songs on radio stations. Nielsen Media Research says it will begin measuring internet ratings and viewership on portable devices such as cell phones and iPods. The company also plans to eliminate the use of paper diaries used to record television ratings data. Light sweet crude settled at $69.50 today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 198 points at 11,015, NASDAQ up 58 at 2144, S&P 500 up 26. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Brother, don't we just have a big old wheelbarrow full of right-wing congressional crap to talk about tonight? Ooh, they're one vote away from a flag-burning amendment in the Senate. Woo! And, some sort of three-word navel-gazing mantra among the Republicans in the House of stay the course. We'll stand up when they dance the two-step. You know what this is like for me? There are days when I am a caged animal. All day long, just waiting for the microphone to open and for Agnes to point her pretty little finger at me. Go, Bob. This is one of those days. I know the Iraq War resolution. I know the Senate thingy. But no, you know where my passions lie. And this one, dear God, it's 7.5 minutes past the hour and I'm already sighing. The headline from CNN, police don't have to knock, justices say. Now I'm gonna make something out of this. We need to have a full understanding of just why this little ruling came down and how it came down. And yeah, because I know how this is gonna spin in Wingnut World if it isn't already spinning. I know what these filthy Republicans are going to say. Well, he's a criminal. He ain't got no right to have a door knocked on. Police don't have to knock on a damn door. Well, you know, they like to pride themselves. You know, the liberals like to nuance things, and their world is black and is full of gray. Our world's black and white. There's right and there's wrong. And if you're a meth dealer, I want the cops to knock your door down, and I don't want them to knock, and I want them to slam it down and put you face down on the floor and a gun to the back of your head until you confess. They've already got a search warrant. Judges already said they got a right to be there. 5-4 decision, so much for John Opus Dei Roberts' passions for consensus. And, you know, look, get used to this 5-4 thing. It isn't going to change anytime soon. Every time this band of ugly little fascists in the Supreme Court reaches the wrong decision, it's going to be 5-4, and it's going to be the same 5, and it's going to be the same 4, pretty much, with the occasional defection of maybe Anthony Kennedy. The bottom of the story. Justice Anthony M. Kennedy, a moderate, kiss my butt, he's a moderate, joined the conservatives in most of the ruling. He wrote in his own opinion, however, to say, quote, "It bears repeating that it is a serious matter if law enforcement officers violate the sanctity of the home by ignoring the requisites of lawful entry." Don't! Because you do understand what this ruling is going to come down to, right? We're talking here about 90 years of constitutional precedent that five freedom-hating freaks just flushed down the toilet. Their names are Roberts, Scalia, Thomas, Kennedy, and of course, our personal favorite, Sammy Bad Breath. Samuel Melito. My God, my God. Well, Bob, they do. They've got the search warrant already. Why should they have to knock? Pardon me while I get out my family values for a minute here. Anybody ever raised children? Anybody ever had babies crawling age? Anybody ever had, little ones just learning to sort of creep around the floors? Aren't they precious? They're sweet, aren't they? Well, the cops don't have to knock anymore. And mark my words, by God, now that they don't have to knock, they will not knock. They never read rights to anybody until Miranda came along, and they had to read rights to people. And now, 90 years, you know, Miranda's only, what, 50 years old? We're talking about something that has been in place since the 1920s. Knock before you execute the search warrant. Well, now that you don't have to knock, the police are not gonna knock. Now, let's just visualize for a minute, because you see, hard cases make bad law. And if you ever wondered if Clarence Thomas and Antonin Scalia and John Roberts and Anthony Kennedy and Sammy Melito were a gang of soulless thugs, here's your answer. Now, I don't care much for all that Old Testament visiting the sins of the father upon the sons crap. I don't go in for it at all. We're all individuals, and we will all make our own beds, and we will all lie in them. But this, you know, well, Bob, everything changed on 9/11. So let's just be really generous to the freaks on the high court. Antonin Scalia is sitting there on the bench with a piece of barbed wire wrapped around his leg under his robes. Opus Dei. Clarence Thomas coming in after a fresh self-flagellation. Opus Dei. Samuel Alito with a little piece of glass in his shoe to remind him of the pain of the crucified Christ. Yeah, they're all about somebody else's pain until it's real, sweetheart. Sunshine, when the potential for that pain is real, it all goes out the window because the cops don't have to knock anymore. but let's be generous to these monsters. Let's say that the subject of the search warrant is he's cooking a bunch of meth. By the way, you can go to thesentencingproject.org and find out that the national meth epidemic is a fraud. You know, maybe, you know, considering what we do with this program, maybe it's time I change the name of the program to Fraud Watch with Bob Kincaid. Because most of what we wind up talking about every given night is the frauds that are being perpetrated upon otherwise decent people in this society. This is one of those frauds. Never mind. Okay, big bad defendant is, you know, the neighbors have been smelling the kerosene for weeks. You know, meth labs stink. And, you know, he's got a big old batch of it cooking away in the bathtub even as the cops are pulling up. But they're in the living room there. This is one of the down phases of the meth cooking process, after all. They're in the living room there, and the baby. The baby is crawling around, creeping around in its first few months of life on the floor, learning to move about. Every now and then rolls over, sits up, grins at its little meth-making parents. It doesn't know any better. That baby's fresh to this world. And without, and you know, oh, well, we're the police and we've got to stop the meth scourge and it'll war on drugs, by golly! And they don't have to knock anymore. And just about that time, little Punkin has crawled over somewhere near the door. And a bunch of big old jackbooted DEA agents or the local drug task force knocks down the door and bashes little baby's brains in. Because we don't have to knock, by God, we're the government! And Scalia and Roberts and Thomas and Kennedy and Alito said, by God, we do not have to knock! Too bad about your baby. Too bad. Because that little baby was creeping around by the door and, well, you know, maybe it's got permanent brain damage now. Or maybe it's lucky and dead. But we've made another stop in the war on drugs or the war on burglary or the war on fake Fendi bag merchandise. Oh, wait, Walmart's doing that. There are consequences to the evil that is perpetrated by Roberts and Thomas and Scalia and Kennedy and Alito. There are consequences, and they are evil men. Maybe I've got too good an imagination because I can see that happening. And it happened, you know, there, how many search warrants are executed day in and day out in this country? How many times are there babies in the home? Oh, well, you know, she didn't have any business letting the baby crawl over by the door. I don't know what to make. I don't know what to make of this country anymore. I don't know what to make of five members of the Supreme Court who are so divorced from reality, so divorced from society, so divorced from the culture, so divorced from their very souls that they can't even think about something like this. Oh, and by the way, up until, this is the case, we talked about it a couple of months ago, this is the case that had to be reheard because Sandra Day O'Connor was stepping down. When Sandra Day O'Connor stepped down, it was a 4-4 tie, sunshine. That tie in favor of the police, that tie that spits in the face of the Fourth Amendment and the sanctity of the American home, that spits in the face of the right to life, that spits in the face of family values. That tie was broken by Samuel Alito. Thank you, Robert C. Byrd. I believe he is a good man. No, he's not. It's 19 minutes past the hour. It's time for a break. Your phone calls, well, you know, they're always welcome. The phone number is 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Head On, Bob Kincaid.
Touch burning. I was a key that could use a little turning. So tired that I couldn't even sleep. So many secrets I couldn't keep. Promised myself I wouldn't leave. But one more promise I couldn't keep. It seems no one can help me.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Anne Braden.
You know, I got interested in Anne's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss and tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com. Guy James Means, straight talk, and great guests like author and reporter Greg Palast.
Do we have Greg on the phone?
Hey, yes, we do.
All right, very good, Greg.
Greg talked about his new book, Armed Madhouse.
You'll see in the second chapter of the book about Big Oil that I was able to get the inside documents from inside the State Department for the plans for the oil fields of Iraq, which is, you know, what it, you know, it's about the oil. And you actually, you know, if you thought they had a secret plan, I go and get it.
Greg Palast, thank you so much.
Don't miss Guy James weekday afternoons, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde Wally and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
You have the right to remain silent!
Maybe it's all just an overreaction. You know, if we all we have to do is adjust. You know, we're Americans. We can adjust, can't we? I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Maybe we just need to be a little more open society, at least open as far as we're concerned, not open as far as the government's concerned. Yeah. Just leave your door open. A little more of the text from this particular case. The case tested previous court rulings that police armed with warrants generally must knock and announce themselves or they run afoul of the Constitution's Fourth Amendment ban on unreasonable searches. Justice Antonin Scalia, on the other hand, you know, him with the piece of barbed wire wrapped around his leg, reminding him of the pain of his crucified Christ. He said that in this case, the Detroit police acknowledged violating the knock-first rule when they called out their presence at a man's door and then went inside 3 seconds to 5 seconds later. The quote from the opinion, "Whether that preliminary misstep had occurred or not, the police would have executed the warrant they had obtained and would have discovered the gun and drugs inside the house." And on that, he pins the notion of it's okay to, you know, the cops don't even have to be polite anymore. I mean, I'm not trying to overblow this. I hope you understand. But you know, a couple of years down the road, and I'm not channeling my inner prophet or anything, we're going to hear about some baby being mauled when the door got knocked down. And we'll hear about how bad the defendants were, and we'll hear that it was. You know, you've seen not so much me, but other people have from time to time referenced George Bush as being the bubble boy, the president in a bubble. Well, if that's the case, it's a big bubble because there are at least five members of the United States Supreme Court in it with him. They do not live in the real world, and they have never seen a baby crawl near a door. And you know what? A baby that's learning to creep and crawl does not automatically get out of the way when the door gets battened down. You ever seen those big iron suckers they use for the really tough doors? This is not an anti-cop rant. It is not. It's not a rant at all. One of my neighbors is an up and coming member of the West Virginia State Police, and you know what? I think he'd stomp on his own hands before he would willingly violate someone's rights, because he's the right kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that you actually want in law enforcement. And I understand that. Well, a buddy of mine refers to it. He says, and you know, you can apply this to most any other state. He said, West Virginia would be ever so much better off if we would just pass Article 99A of the West Virginia Code, otherwise known as criminal dumbass. Because the biggest part of the criminal law in this country is moron management. Someday, if you just want to... just a little slice of life. Go to a large county, a largish county, and wander in and look at the floor show in your average petty crime small claims court. Because what you're not going to see. I mean, you know, no, I mean, you don't get your the Goodfellas types in there. You know, with the suits and the white on white ties and all of that. No. What you get in there is a sad, pitiful little parade of people who are undereducated or uneducated, who have no realistic means of earning a living or supporting themselves, who have wandered into, generally speaking, wandered into one or more forms of addiction or chemical abuse, and in the process have done really dumb stuff. Now, if I was to apply the little old blue-haired lady in the bottom of the basement of the Baptist church Jesus standard to this, this is where you go, oh, well, you know, go and sin no more. But there, you know, there are crimes where you just wish, you hope, you know, that there's a good magistrate or a good justice of the peace or a small claims court judge who will look at the defendant and say, you know, you are dumber than a bag of rocks. I will freely acknowledge that there is some legitimate societal interest in punishing people for, especially for just doing mean stuff. And, you know, we've got a taste for punishing stupidity, too. So, no, this is not some sort of an anti-cop tirade. It is not at all. But these are institutions, and institutions operate by the rules that are applied to those institutions. And if the rule is you have to knock before you knock the door down, you know, with a lot of these people, I mean, we're not talking about the police going to, you know, to some Tony neighborhood and saying, pardon me, Mrs. Fitzhugh. No, this is not what this is about. This is about, you know, public housing. This is about low rent housing. This is about housing that belongs to a landlord and not the people inside. There are real live societal interests in not letting the police just knock the daggum door down. Not to mention the fact, pardon me, I'm in West Virginia. This is a gun-toting state. We have one of the lowest incidences of violent crime in the country. And while I refuse to be a member of the NRA, I will point out the fact that I believe it has to do something with the gun ownership rate in this state. You know, because you can live in a community, and you know, West Virginia, Kentucky, Western Virginia, any state that's got rural areas, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, there are places where the cops are 30 minutes away if you need them to protect you. And basically all they can do is get there in time to draw the chalk outline. With me so far? Sure. You know, West Virginia adheres to something called the castle doctrine that stems from the old line, a man's home is his castle. And if your home is being invaded, you can stand and blaze. I don't want police officers to die. But I got news for you. The police make mistakes. A long time ago, I can't remember the name, U.S. v. Leon, created a good faith exception to the entire Constitution of the United States for police who execute the right search warrant in the wrong place. You know, say the warrant says that you're going to 129 Elm Street. And it just so happens that they're on Elm Street and somebody's six has come loose at 126 and the sucker has swung down and now looks like 129 and they go swarming in. And they terrorize the family and they make the babies cry and everybody has nightmares and they completely violate an innocent family. Well, in U.S. v. Leon, the Supreme Court, and this was many years ago, held that the cops can't be sued for doing that under the Civil Rights Act because they entered the house in good faith. They weren't privy to the knowledge that you hadn't put your six back to where a six would be. It looked like a nine to them because it was swinging from one nail. And they got a good faith exception to the Constitution for doing that. Well, this isn't what we're talking about today. This case isn't even a good faith exception. You just knock down the damn door. But like I said, in rural states where people believe in their Second Amendment rights, that will get you dead. And I'm not talking about the defendant. Oh, yeah, the defendant's going to be dead. They're going to mow him down. And they'll mow down the baby, and they'll mow down the wife and the old auntie. But I am telling you, in the middle of the night, if the cops screw up and come through my door and I don't know it's the cops, what are you going to do? Do you see how wrong-headed this is? Do you see what a passel of addle-pated morons these jerks on the Supreme Court are? Do you see how wrong this is? Where are my right-wing nuts?
Well, we believe in the sanctity of the American home. Man's home is his castle. I got me a sign. I bought it at the state fair last year. It's got a smoking 357 painted on it, and all it says is, "We don't call 911. Me and the missus, we couldn't decide whether we wanted to have that one that said, "We don't call 911, or whether we wanted the one that said, "This house protected by Smith and Wesson."
Guess what? That's not satire. That's not parody. That's not me making fun of somebody. It is me making fun of somebody, Agnes?
No.
Oh, okay. It is real. I mean, I remember a long, long time ago, in excess of 12 years to be precise. My darling wife, it was over the Thanksgiving break, because that's when deer season comes around in West Virginia. She was pregnant with our lovely Margie, our darling Margie. And bless her heart, you know, Mother Superior Agnes is not. I mean, she's not a big old bruiser or anything. And she was less of one even then. And frankly, she looked like she'd swallow the watermelon, because she was 8 and a half, 9 months pregnant. About eight and a half, yeah. And not feeling her best. I've never met a woman who was 8 and a half months pregnant who felt her best. Can't sleep on her side, can't sleep on her back, can't sleep on her tummy, can't sleep. So, my best friend and I are off in the woods deer hunting. Trust me, when I go deer hunting, it's funny. But we're off in the woods deer hunting, and we come back over the last ridge, looking down at the house, and I'm too far away to do anything. And we'd seen some poachers on the property earlier in the day. People that weren't supposed to be on that land. And they were not wearing their blaze orange vests either. They came off the ridge, in fact, when they saw the sun glint off of my scope as it was, you know, looking at them. But I see my lovely wife standing down there in one of those fuzzy, nubby, pink chenille bathrobes. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And big old belly sticking out from it. And she's got a Smith & Wesson 9mm, you know, sort of over the side, you know, over to the side, not straight on, over to the side, gangland style. You know, it was a nice handgun. It's black. But it's laying over to the side, you know, like something out of Pulp Fiction. And she's got it pointed at these two dudes. Who are carrying high-powered rifles. Because being a West Virginian, my lovely wife had gone out to inform these two jerks that they had no business on our property, that they were not permitted to be there, that they were poaching, and that they had about 15 seconds to get off the land before she called the law. And they said, "Girlie, you just need to get back in." Well, we'll say they said, "Girlie, dear." This is a family program. And he said, "Girlie, you just need to get back inside," at which time Agnes whips out the Smith & Wesson 9mm loaded with the black Talon loads and has it, like, pointed. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, if you do the thing with your index finger and your thumb, and she had it laid over to the side, and I'm just sitting there, I can't run, I can't, you know, I mean, just shoot. You know, they ran. Because, after all, Agnes is Latin for wrath. And she did squeeze off around. Didn't hit anybody. Didn't mean to hit anybody. If she'd have meant to, she'd have hit. But anyway, I'm not just, this isn't just the fond reminiscences of the days of wine and roses that Agnes and I have shared over the years. This is directly related to the kind of stuff that goes on in America all the time. And it's the kind of stuff that these fools, you know, well, Antonin Scalia is one of the leading conservative constitutional scholars. I can't wait to talk to Bruce Fine tomorrow night. Because you don't have to be a constitutional scholar to look at a phrase in the Constitution that says, and shall be the commander in chief, or whatever the exact language is, of the armed forces, and then fantasy world, and suddenly, you know, that means that he's got the right to listen to phone conversations without a warrant. That is not a leading light intellectual of the conservative movement. That is a fantasy artist. You know, that's. But you understand. Scalia said that a victory for Mr. Hudson would have given a get-out-of-jail-free card to him and others. Well, look, this is a society where there are get-out-of-jail-free cards. There are some technical things where if you screw them up, you get, the other side gets away with it. I was reading a case that was sent to me the other day. I forget who it was. One of our listeners, I apologize. It was a case out of Florida, I think, where the cops wound up searching a car and finding some pot and some cash. And they did it all because they saw some, get this, CDs on the seat that looked like they were been pirated. They looked like pirated CDs. We had had a class on pirated media, and they looked to me like pirated CDs.
It's Barney.
And, you know, this, I got CDs that I've burned, you know, little mixes and stuff of songs I like, bouncing around in the car, and that's enough to pull. So then they searched the car and they found the guy's weed and the guy's money. And fortunately, it was appealed, and the appellate judge said, "Are you people out of your freaking minds? Just because you think a disc is pirated does not give you carte blanche to go ahead and dig through the car and find the weed." That's a get-out-of-jail-free card. And get-out-of-jail-free cards are checks on police when they get a little bit over-impressed with themselves. But, yeah, give him a get-out-of-jail-free card. But the thing is, they just took away been taking away Mr. Hudson's get out of jail free card. They took it away from you, and they took it away from me. And the deciding vote was that ugly little racist misogynist sleazebag Samuel Alito. Do we have to go back over the history? How many times did I talk about the case where Alito wrote that it was okay for the police to come in and feel up a 10-year-old girl without a warrant? Do you see where America is going? This scares the hell out of me. It should scare the hell out of all. It should. There should be like green smoke coming out of the evil wizard castle wherever the headquarters of the NRA is right now. Because this is a direct affront on the Second Amendment. It's a direct affront on the First Amendment. It's a direct affront on the Fourth Amendment.
unreasonable searches and seizures. It is not reasonable, you see, to bust open a door without at least knocking and giving Mommy and Daddy a chance to get precious Lumpkin out of the way of the door before that she gets stomped to death by the cops. Unreasonable searches and seizures. You get my meaning? Shall we take a break, dear? Sure. Let's do. Your phone calls are welcome. 877-443-2366. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Army couldn't hold me back. They're gonna rip it off, taking their time right behind my back. And I'm talking to myself at night because I can't forget. Back and forth through my mind behind a cigarette. And a message coming from my
Head On.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
As a dad, you'll probably spend years teaching your son how to hit a baseball, how to throw a tight spiral and hit a receiver, how to hit the strike zone. But the question is this: how much time will you spend teaching him what not to hit? Teach your son early and often that all violence against women is wrong. For tips on what to say, visit endabuse.org. Brought to you by the Family Violence Prevention Fund, the Waite Institute for Violence Prevention, the Ad Council, and this station.
I really needed a computer to help me get back on my feet. I found a local organization that refurbishes donated PCs, and I got a great deal. I'm so glad someone passed it on.
Donating computers gives more people access to technology while protecting our environment. So take that computer and pass it on. To learn more, go to epa.gov/pass it on. This message was brought to you by EPA, Dell, Intel, HP, NEC, Philips, and this radio station on behalf of EPA's Plug Into eCycling Partnership. EPA does not endorse any commercial services or products of these groups. For information, log on to epa.gov/plugin.
We often hear claims Muslims don't condemn terrorism.
And that Islam condones violence.
As Muslims, we want to state clearly
that those who commit acts of terror in the name of Islam are betraying the teachings of the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad.
We reject anyone of any faith who commits such brutal acts.
And will not allow our faith to be hijacked by criminals.
Islam is not about hatred and violence. It's about peace and justice.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion makes sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball. While gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
A liberal light in the conservative darkness. Here's Bob Kincaid.
She goes for her medical.
coming up on 10 minutes before the hour. This cussed ruling today went through me like a dose of salt. I mean, I'm not sitting there watching the docket or anything. Wait, oh, okay. No. But, you know, you kind of knew it was coming when they reheard it so that they could get a chance to bring that weird little misogynist into the mix and get his vote in favor of knocking down doors. Alito. And, yeah, I every time he screws up like this, every time he writes another hateful opinion, I am going to say, thank you, Robert C. Byrd. Because if he had come out, you understand, I mean, you know, Byrd is Byrd. If Byrd had come out and said, ain't no way I'm voting for this miserable little fascist, you understand that Democrats would have gotten behind him and acted like Democrats and filibustered this sorry syphilitic son of a sea cook and made Bush send us somebody, you know, besides him. But he didn't have the nerve, and instead we got the lecture about how he got handwritten letters with coffee stains and a little bit of Krispy Kreme donut juice on them from people saying they were so tired of the negative way in which people were opposing a man of God like Samuel Alito. Yowza. I know, John Racy's running against him in West Virginia, and John Racy is an absolute four-square just monkey bat. Hopping up and down as the Republican National Committee screams, fly, fly, my pretties! He's a freak. And come November, no promises. Let's go to the phones. Debbie is joining us from the Coal River Valley of West Virginia. Hey, Debbie, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
I'm doing okay. Yourself?
I'm doing fine. Beautiful day that it is today here on Coal River Valley.
It was beautiful here, too. It could be more beautiful down your way if certain things would change, though, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and that's what we're working on. I was just calling to inform you about the Pennies of Promise campaign that we have going on.
Right, penniesofpromise.org, is that correct?
That's right, penniesofpromise.org. And that is a grassroots effort that's comprised of local citizens, the Coal River Valley, and other concerned Appalachians. I'm sure that you're well aware of how we've tried to get government involved, as well as school board, Anyone that we could get to listen on the Marsh Fork Elementary.
Yeah, let's back up and do a little bit of background, if you don't mind, Debbie.
Yes.
Marsh Fork Elementary School, and there you can see photos of this at crmw.net, right?
That is correct.
It's an elementary school full of wonderful little children that sits 250 feet from a toxic coal preparation plant and sits directly below a 2.5 billion gallon sludge lake that could break, the dam could bust at any time, and everybody dies when that happens. And so you guys have put forward an effort to begin at the real grassroots and build those children another school that is not in a toxic floodplain.
That's exactly what we're trying to do. We want to place a healthy, safe environment for our kids to be able to learn in, not in a toxic dump down there that they have right now. Anyone looking at a flyover picture, there's nothing anybody needs to say except those kids need to be moved.
Absolutely. So what you're trying to do, because the governor of West Virginia, a Democrat, Joe Manchin, has been utterly unresponsive to the needs of these children, and the legislature has been unresponsive, and the school board has been unresponsive. Everybody but the people who have to live there have been unresponsive. What you're trying to do is kind of shame Joe Manchin into doing something by delivering him pennies. Is that correct?
Well, that is one part of it. The other part of it, we have taken it upon ourselves to raise the money needed for a new school. It's not just pennies to shame the governor. But we're actually going to raise the money needed to build a new school in our community. Our main mission is to ensure the safety of those kids who attend Marshwork Elementary School. And if our government, our school boards aren't willing to do that, then we're going to accomplish that ourselves.
Because the school board's talking about, you know, if they do anything, they'll bus the children a couple of hours somewhere.
That is our fear, yes, that they'll be bused out of the community.
Oh, my heavens. Yeah, and again, this is about, so along these lines, just so people can understand, at the penniesofpromise.org website, correct me if I'm wrong, Debbie, folks can donate.
Absolutely, absolutely. There is a PayPal there that'll go straight into the account for Pennies of Promise. There's also, to help or get involved, there's a address, there's phone numbers. Also, as well as if you're wanting to send those pennies to the governor, you have his address as well as his phone number. And we really would like to have the help and support of everyone out there. That's what it's going to take for us to accomplish this. But we truly believe that it's something that we can do.
And beyond that, Debbie, it's something that must be done, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. No child should be forced, and that's what it boils down to. They're forced to attend a school that's surrounded by this coal mining operation.
And just so folks can know, it's not like Marsh Fork Elementary is some sort of pristine place. Experts have been into Marsh Fork Elementary, haven't they?
Yes, they have, by court order. And in an independent study, samples of dust were taken from various classrooms in the school, and analysis confirmed that all 7 samples taken had shown coal dust contamination. And, of course, in small kids, that's especially troublesome, not only respiratory problems that cause the children. But we received an email from a doctor in Texas, the beginning of the black lung. I mean,
what?
My grandfather died of black lung. I surely don't want my granddaughter to die of black lung. You know.
Yeah, well, exactly. The children are breathing this stuff in school, and what grade ranges exist at Marsh Fork, Debbie? I mean,
this is preschool to grade 5. So what? 3 years old up until 11, 12 years old.
And every day of school, you go there and you breathe Massey Energy's poison.
Every day, yes, every day. And what we need, or what our children need, is a quiet, a safe place to learn and to grow.
Well, I certainly hope you succeed. And you know, we're going to link to your site on the headonradionetwork.com site. And folks who are listening now and listening to the archives or the podcasts, please go by penniesofpromise.org. And give what you can. This is the only way this is going to happen, isn't it, Debbie?
That's correct. It's the only way it's going to happen. Our officials, they're all pointing fingers towards each other and, you know, basically turning their backs. They're not going to take the responsibility. We're going to have to take the responsibility for the health and safety of our kids, because they're not going to.
This just... I'm so proud of you all for taking it upon yourselves to do this, because this is the way we make change. And I don't mean that in the terms of pennies, but this is the way we bring about change. And we can, you know, one problem at a time, right?
Yes. Yes. And especially if you have so much belief in what you're doing and you know that it's the right thing to do. I truly believe it's something that can be accomplished.
I do. Well, I do too. Debbie, we're up at the top of the hour, but thank you for bringing this to our attention, and I'll make sure that I mention again through the course of the program and in the days to come. Is there any kind of a timetable on this?
Not at this moment. Hopefully, if we do get a timetable, that will be put up on the website as well. We're in the initial stage of getting this started. As far as the timetable, I really don't have one.
Okay,
surely the sooner the better.
Right. Do you have any kind of a goal or an idea of how much money you need to raise?
By Raleigh County standards, it takes about $5 million for an elementary school. compared to Greenbrier County, it's a little bit over $3 million. So
okay,
it's in between those two numbers. But what we're shooting for is the $5 million mark, since, yes, we do live in Raleigh County.
Okay. Well, Debbie, thank you very kindly. And like I said, I'll keep this at the front of things. And best of luck in any way that I can help you. Please let me know, all right?
Well, thank you, and you're truly appreciated, Bob. You have a great evening.
You too.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Goodbye.
Our good friend Debbie, penniesofpromise.org. Let's go to the news, then we'll talk about some other things coming out of it. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Quality News Network. On Wall Street today, stocks are rallying for the second day in a row. We'll have the numbers for you later in our newscast. In Washington, the Supreme Court has ruled in a 5-4 decision that police armed with a warrant can go into homes and seize evidence even if they don't knock first. Legal analysts say the ruling will help law enforcement officials and prosecutors. In the dissent, the minority said this weakens constitutional protections. In Iraq, the number of U.S. military deaths in the war has now reached 2,500. The Pentagon also announced today that nearly 19,000 U.S. troops have been wounded since the war began in 2003. On Capitol Hill, an emotional debate is underway over the Iraq war. In a non-binding resolution, the House Republicans are defending the three-year conflict as a vital way to win the global war on terror. Democrats are criticizing President Bush and his policies. Also on Capitol Hill today, the Senate sent President Bush a $94.5 billion emergency spending bill. The majority funds the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Another portion goes to Gulf Coast hurricane relief. So far, the war in Iraq has cost $320 billion. The Afghanistan war price tag is $89 billion. In Iraq, documents and records seized after last week's killing of al-Qaeda leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi have led to 452 raids, which killed 104 insurgents. Iraq's National Security Advisor says that one of those documents is a blueprint for trying to start a war between the U.S. and Iran. In northern Sri Lanka today, a packed bus hit a powerful landmine. At least 64 people were killed and 86 were injured. In Afghanistan, 8 workers on their way to work at a U.S. military base at Kandahar were killed and 17 were wounded when a bomb hit their minibus today. The attack came as more than 10,000 Afghan and U.S.-led coalition forces began a massive anti-Taliban operation. In the Gaza Strip, after recently calling off a truce with Israel, the Hamas-led government has offered to restore the ceasefire. It had been called off to protest last week's deadly explosion at a Gaza beach. Israel denied responsibility in the attack. At the White House, President Bush signed legislation that increases safety for minors. It gives minors a better chance of survival in the event of an accident. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
President Bush is expected to announce the creation of the world's largest marine protected area today. It covers a group of remote Hawaiian islands spanning 84 million acres. It is home to 7,000 species of birds, fish, and marine mammals. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke says that energy prices are likely to remain high. He adds that there needs to be a close watch on how much they will increase the prices of other goods and services. Once again, he warned that the Fed will be vigilant against inflation. Many of the major airlines will be boosting fares this summer because of fuel price hikes. For example, Delta has increased the one-way domestic fare for first-class and walk-up coach tickets by $50. United Airlines says it will eliminate at least 1,000 salaried and management jobs by the end of the year. The cutbacks are part of its efforts to reduce costs. In New York, it appears that former CBS News anchor Dan Rather is in his final days at the network after 40 years. A deal is said to be near that would end his tenure there. Google, the internet search company, is buying its own Silicon Valley headquarters at a cost of $319 million. It had been renting since 2003. Light sweet crude settled at $69.50 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 196 points, the Nasdaq up 58 points, and the S&P 500 up 26 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then. Made it through the first hour without an aneurysm. Yay me. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Daily Dust Up. Confrontation with the facts that we like to call head-on. In fact, this is the Head-On Radio Network, America's other liberal network. Conversation radio at its very finest. Let's go to the phones right now. Jim is joining us from a remote, undisclosed location of his own. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Doing good, yeah?
Yeah, I heard you mention the Mars Fort School.
Yeah.
And a couple weeks ago on Lord Haw Haw's show in the morning on WW, whatever it is, you know what I'm talking about, Lion O'Brien, the subject had been surfaced on that particular program. And this gentleman called in who had actually been there when they made those seven samples, okay, from that school. And, of course, the samples were analyzed and were found to contain significant amounts of beryllium, which is a fairly toxic...
It's a heavy metal, isn't it?
It's a heavy metal, and it comes from the type of coal dust that, you know, from you know, the refined coal dust that is a byproduct of a certain coal manufacturing step. And I don't know anything about the coal industry. But O'Brien just practically hollered the man off, screamed the man right off the show.
Oh, of course. No dissent is tolerated in when you're a shill for the Massey Energy Company.
But I mean, this guy was, you know, he was extremely erudite and very well spoken, and you know, just explained to him, you know, what they had found and how this particular heavy metal or trace element or whatever, once it enters the body, never leaves. And it's certainly not, it's certainly unlike milk, does not do a body good, but it keeps developing and growing, and it causes all types of problems from autism to God only knows what else.
Well, you got to remember, when you burn coal, you put mercury into the atmosphere, so mercury's in the coal.
Right. But I mean, you know, I couldn't believe that this guy is trying to be as polite as he was actually shouted off the air and just treated so abruptly and so rudely. But, I mean, it's just, and, you know, and he was actually there as a cameraman to photograph the taking of the seven samples from that school, okay, to document the fact they'd done it.
And I couldn't believe it. Well, yes, I could believe it, knowing, you know what a butthole O'Brien is.
Sure.
And so basically, you know, that's the type of inertia you're going to encounter when you're trying to expose the truth and, you know, and make people realize exactly what they're doing to their environment and to their progeny. And, of course, people like Steve O'Brien just don't care.
Well, no, he does care. What he cares about is supporting the poison industry.
He's
pro-life, but he's only pro-life so long as the baby's in the womb.
Well, I don't think he's pro-anything. The only thing I think he's pro is pro-whatever happens to benefit him at that particular moment. I don't think the man has any moral compass whatsoever, and I tell him that to his face as I have many times. And, you know, I think that it's just ridiculous that a person who is that stupid should be allowed to have a radio show and to be able to deal with people so cavalierly. I mean, you know, it really makes us say like a bunch of hicks.
You ever seen that school, Jim?
No.
You want to talk about Cavalier? Cavalier is hanging 2.5 billion gallons of cancer-causing goo over a group of 3-year-olds to 11-year-olds. That's pretty cavalier.
Well, I don't know what the... Isn't there some kind of regulation that they can't have that can't be within 300 feet or something like that?
Well, that's the preparation operation.
Okay, yeah.
But they even broke the, they, you know, Massey even broke those rules.
But they've been able to get all types of dispensations in order to encroach upon that particular area reserved for the school, correct?
Absolutely. And if I would be ashamed to be a member of the Raleigh County Board of Education.
Well, I would think so, but that community is practically dead, isn't it?
No, I mean, there's a lot of people that still live down there. And if those children are bused away to another school, my guess is they're going to be getting on buses and having, you know, 2-hour bus rides to and 2-hour bus rides from.
Well, the suggestion made by this gentleman, I think, was that these kids you built a new school that would be safer and non-toxic. But that's when O'Brien started to go nuts. As if, you know, he was going to have to pay for the school out of his own pocket.
Well, that's the way a Republican operates,
well,
Jim.
Yeah, I guess so. And that's the way that generally operates. But I just thought it was just, you know, I have never heard anyone treated so rudely and without any type of restraint whatsoever. I mean...
Well, look at that station. And for those who do not live in the area and are not familiar with it, this might be a little bit of inside baseball. But that station was becoming a bastion of balance. I was proud to be associated with them because they were presenting conservatism and they were presenting liberalism, or you know, right thinking-ism, the way I consider it. And there was balance there, and now the only live program that they have is an ignorant freak in the morning who thinks that the Ohio River flows north.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, obviously when you call them to management, they don't care, and they're not going to do anything to it.
Well, no, because there's 6 other stations there that are making money.
Well, I don't know what he's making. I can tell you what it is. He's making a mess. And basically, when you drive through this corridor of the state, and if that's what you turn into or turn onto in your car radio, it would make anybody basically not even want to stop to use the bathroom until they got out of West Virginia, because that's the impression they'd be getting, hearing some of the people and some of the nutcases that call in over there. I mean, it's just incredible. And their thinking processes are... I mean, sometimes it's funny, and it's just ridiculous to think that someone could be so damn ignorant. But to realize that there are people within shouting distance of where we are whose thinking is so convoluted. I don't know. I think they basically have gotten a real load of this beryllium themselves or whatever it is. And they're just as nutty, they're just as mad as a marchair.
Well, Frank, Jim, when it comes to coal in southern West Virginia, if you say anything other than coal keeps the lights on, then you're a heretic, and you're evil, and you're un-American or something, because, you know, coal
that's
is...
simply not true.
Yeah, but that's the way it is around here.
that's a mentality that should have died out 50 years ago, I would think. I'm not from here, but I know that there are other ways that people can make a living.
Well, look, we've got a proposal for a wind farm, windmills,
now,
in Greenbrier County, and the coal industry is trying to move heaven and earth, literally. I mean,
taking off the agenda.
To keep it from happening.
Well, you know, I've been to California and I've seen those wind farms, and I'll tell you one thing: those things are tourist attractions.
Sure, they are. And
they're beautiful pieces of sculpture. They really are. And it's just a fight that you can't believe it. That when you
they have a contemplative beauty about them, don't they?
Yes, they do.
You know, and I keep trying to get a memo to the head of this company telling him, two words, plant tulips.
Pardon me?
Plant tulips. That's, just plant tulips around the windmills, and the next thing you know, you're on postcards, just like Holland.
Well, you know, it's a pity that we can't learn, number one, from the Dutch, how to build dams and dikes, and number two, how to harness the power of the wind, which they have done for centuries to keep the sea at bay and to give them acres and acres of arable land. You know, we just can't seem to learn from other people. I don't understand it.
It's not that we can't, Jim. It's that we won't. We are talking about the difference between... shall we say, benighted ignorance and willful ignorance. Benighted ignorance, you can turn the light on and fix things. But willful ignorance, willfully ignorant people, and we are surrounded by them. I mean, we're up to our chins in them. And I'm not just talking about here or any particularized location.
Oh, yeah.
This country is awash. We are besotted with the willfully ignorant.
Well, I mean, we're led by the willfully ignorant. And controlled by 29% of the voting population that supports that crap. And, you know, I don't know where it's going to end up at, except, you know, I hope that they will get their just desserts, and that's for sure.
Well, I hope for the kids down there at Marsh Fork, Jim, I hope that these fine folks can succeed in their quest, because every day that school sits there, that's a child getting a little bit sicker. I mean, how could a coal executive at Massey, for instance, how could a coal executive sit there and know that he was actively poisoning children in order to enrich himself? You and I, we've got the smarts to be.
He wouldn't care. Don't think he thinks of as red versus black.
Yeah, see, I could never operate that way. I could, like I said, I got the smarts to sit in one of those jobs. I could do those things. But my God, I couldn't stand myself. It'd be one of those Richard Corey moments, you know what I mean?
Well, these people have no conscience. They don't have anything. They're, as far as I'm concerned, their souls are dead. And you know what I say to them is this, and they're stepping on toes right now. There's an old expression about stepping on toes. You know what it is?
What's that?
You had better watch out whose toes you step on today, because those toes may be connected to the ass that you have to kiss tomorrow.
Well said, Jim. And with that, we're going to put it to an end, because I got to hit some more calls. But that's brilliant. I'm going to write that down and remember.
Well, I think that's a pretty good idea. I hope that happens. Thank you, buddy.
I do, too. You have a great night, Jim. Bye now. Our good friend, Jim. And again, we're dealing with conscienceless individuals. Let's talk to our good friend Bo now, also down in the Coal River Valley. Hey, Bo, welcome to the show.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
Good to talk to you. Doing well.
That was just wonderful what he just said about the toes and the kissing.
Yeah, kind of worth hanging on to, isn't it?
Yeah, but kind of true. I mean, it does bring a lot of truth to it. Yeah, you guys were talking about the lack of care from this CEO.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this or not, but Mr. Blankenship had a response to Michael Schneerson's article in the Vanity Fair. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Well, I'll just read you the first two sentences.
Please.
It tells everything about Blankenship. I mean, this is an evil person.
Okay, let's do a little background first, Bo. With regard to the article in Vanity Fair. Bring people up to speed on that first.
Well, the article in Vanity Fair was about... The suppression and oppression taking place in the Coal River Valley, and the heavy hand that Massey Energy wields on the people, and how the people beckon down to him in order to have a job, because there's no other jobs in the Coal River Valley. So Michael Schneerson talked about that in his article in the Vanity Fair, and he also talked about the bigger problem, the global problem of climate change, and all that, just as Al Gore has been talking about. And Blankenship has taken, he had an answer for Schneerson.
Okay, and that is?
He said, Michael Schneerson should consider the damage his untruths can cause. People can only be helped by truth. AIDS, starvation, war, and lack of clean water are just some of the real issues facing the world today. So just think about that first couple sentences there. Lack of clean water. Blankenship has destroyed 2,000 miles of streams in West Virginia alone.
Yeah.
So what the hell is he talking about? It's pretty scary.
Well, but yeah, see, for Don Blankenstein, problems like clean water only exist in some sort of fantasy Africa that he maintains in his sick little mind.
Yes, that's true. And he doesn't care about the future generations of our world at all. He goes on to say that wasting billions of dollars on climate change theory won't help people in their lifetime, even if it were true. It only serves to deprive them of resources that can make their lives better. That tells me that what he is saying is that get what you can get today and the hell with your kids and your grandkids. That's really how it comes out to me.
Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
It's self-serving, and this guy is sick. Very sick person.
Yeah, he is. And I really, Bo, what drives me crazy is hearing that jobs card and that make life better thing hauled out. Mountaintop, and last night's program, our good friend Wayne mentioned the fact that Russ Weeks had said to him, well, why do you oppose mountaintop removal? That brings jobs.
Well, that's pretty sick, too. And I would just love to work with Russ Weeks. I think somewhere down in Russ Weeks' heart, there's a real person there. But he is so polluted by coal and the coal industry that he just can't face reality. And I just wish the guy could get on board and understand what's really going on. And really do his constituents the job he should be doing them.
Just out of curiosity, where have you had any conversations with the Raleigh County Board of Education, Bo?
Not in over a year. There's like when we met with them about a new school, and we took them to Mount View at Rock Creek. What they did with that was pretty despicable, as far as I'm concerned. They tried to take what we were saying about that land. We were talking about the land that the old school was on, was a great flat area and a safe place that you could put a nice school. They took that and they spend it in the media that we were wanting them to renovate that old school, which is full of asbestos and busted water pipes and all kinds of things. And they tried to make us look like we were goofy. And that wasn't what we were trying to say at all. We were simply saying that this is a great location for a new school. Not that you should rebuild this school or this old school or repair it, but tear it down and put a new school here. And so after that, we have had no more communications with them. I would love to communicate with them, but they like to pretend that we don't exist, because if they communicate with us, then they're admitting that there's a problem, so they just ignore us.
Well, like I said a little bit earlier, I would be ashamed to be a member of that Board of Education.
Well, I would be, too. I would really be. There's a thing, I don't know if Debbie, because I didn't hear all of Debbie's, I want you to call in and hear all of her comments, but in Mingo County, there's some folks over there, apparently there's around 5,300 people that signed a petition over there that there's a school consolidation going on in Mingo County, West Virginia.
Right.
To build an array of schools in one area that will house grade school, middle school, and high school. And it's on a mountaintop removal site. Those folks do not want that school. They do not want their schools consolidated. They're calling us and telling us that they would like to take the money that's been, they've been given $18 million. And they would like to take a portion of that and give it to Marsh Fork Elementary to build a new school. So, you know, where is our county school board on that? You know, they say they don't have the money. The money's available. You know, pennies of promise will make the money available. Absolutely, we'll do that. But in the meantime, the money's readily available. It's there.
Yeah. But, well, through the school building authority.
Exactly. It's there, and there's emergency money in the state government, Bob, for things like this, for emergencies that come up, or where there's a problem, we can take care of it. But the governor doesn't want to admit there's a problem. The school board won't admit there's a problem. And they go back to this thing. They say that based upon current information, the school is okay. That means, really, based upon the current information that they're looking at, we've given them multitudes of information that says quite the difference of that. And they refuse to look at that.
Well, yeah, because it doesn't fit their paradigm.
No, it doesn't, and I really think that their big problem that they have, and the big thing is they do not want to admit there's a problem at that school, because if they do, you're talking about lawsuits.
Well, you're talking about lawsuits, and you're talking about cracking the overall fraud of benign nature of mountaintop removal wide open. I mean, you and I know it's not benign.
Exactly. You have to admit that mountaintop removal is raining a lot of bad stuff on a lot of communities, and they don't want to admit that, and it just boggles the mind that they continue to be in denial. Just as I don't know if anyone watched Larry King Night Before Last with Al Gore on there, and he was talking about the real problem that we have on this planet, and it's global warming.
Yeah.
There's no argument about it anymore, but yet people like Blankenship and even Bush will want to argue that. But the leading scientists on this planet, there is no argument. It's real. And it's because of us and what we're doing.
Well, it only makes sense to me. And I had a story a week or so ago that just made my hair stand on end. This sort of Tinkerbell approach to science that this administration and their corporate cronies take, Bo, is really dangerous. NASA's budget for every single one of its projects dealing with climate science between now and 2009
mm-hmm.
has been canceled.
Well, that's kind of par for the course. They've put their industry lackeys in power, and they're even censoring some of the things that scientists are talking about.
Yeah, well, I remember when not too long back when the guy that Bush installed as the official PR flack for NASA had to be run out because it was just so obvious that the guy, I mean, his college degree was a fraud, everything about him was a fraud, and he was put in there to muzzle the scientists.
Yeah, and according to Al Gore and other scientists, scientists that he has talked with, that we have less than 10 years to get a handle on it. And then it's irreversible. I mean, it's really nuts. I spent a week up there at the United Nations, and I talked to scientists that said the same thing, that when Greenland melts, we're screwed. And it's going to melt. If we don't get a handle on this, it's going to melt. And you're talking about a 20-foot rise in the sea level around the planet. And you're talking about 100 million people, refugees. Imagine that. We've really got to get a handle on what we're doing, and what we're doing is really insane, that we will not admit that we are really ruining the future for the entire planet. We are the reason that our civilization will be wiped out if we don't get a handle on this.
And well, you're right. But that's the thing, because we need to, we need another TV running right now. 20 pounds a day that every single American burns of coal? 20 pounds of coal a day.
Yeah.
And when we think about it, I need the refrigerator to keep going 24/7.
Yeah, and look at it this way.
But I don't have to have three televisions going. And we can, we can turn the computer off when we walk away from it, and turn the lights out when we leave the room.
Exactly. Yeah, we got to be conservative. We got to get into that frame of mind. We need an entire cultural shift, a change in society, the way we think and the way we act and the way we conduct ourselves. We waste more energy in this country than. I just read a thing where top scientist said that in order for the rest of the world to live the way the Americans live, we would need four more planet Earths. That's pretty sick.
Ain't going to happen anytime soon, is it, brother?
It's
going
to happen anytime soon, and it's pretty sick stuff. And just the whole thing, we really need to get grips on what we're doing. And we're burning a black rock that's been here for millions of years. I mean, there's a problem with that. All the technology we have today, we shouldn't be in this situation.
And what? Of the potential energy inside it, you burn it, you get 35%, 65% goes up the stack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Bo, we've got to take our break, but it's always such a pleasure and such a joy to talk to you. I hope we'll hear from you. I hope we hear good and successful news about penniesofpromise.org.
We'll keep you abreast. We got some things coming up, Bob, within the next 2 to 4 weeks. We got some real, real good stuff coming up, and we'll keep you abreast as we go.
All right. Thanks so much, Bo.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye bye.
That's our good friend, Bo Webb from Coal River Mountain Watch. Go on by. If you have not seen what it means, what we're talking about, Coal River mountaintop removal, go to crmw.net and see the pictures. You can see an aerial view of this school. You will see a lake that is 2.5 billion gallons big, held back by a wall of dirt hanging over an elementary school. And that's the school that needs to be replaced. If hearing about it, you want to write a letter to the editor about that other people in southern West Virginia can see, so that they can know that the rest of the nation is paying attention. Go to register-herald. I don't have to tell you. Don't spell hyphen. register-herald.com, and there's a letters to the editor thing there. You can go to wvgazette.com. That's the biggest newspaper in the state, the Charleston Gazette. And you can let them know how you feel. But it would be nice if the Massey Energies and the Don Blankenship, God, I loathe that man. Yeah, you should see him. He's got this little pencil, Boston Blackie pencil thin mustache thing. He's a turd. But let West Virginia see that the rest of the nation is watching, and that that you are not willing. Oh God, I'm giving marching orders again. I'm sorry. But you get the idea. We'll take a break, come back to more of your phone calls. 877-443-2366, 877, the number 4, head on. Lordy, I'm Bob. Did I say turd?
Bob Kincaid.
This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union,
The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
The president came out and talked about the Iraq War and how he had a strategy to win the peace. I have some exclusive audio. This is actually him preparing for the speech in front of the mirror. This is him laying out the strategy for Iraq.
That was the most coherent thing I've heard him say in ages, man.
You know, if he really spoke that way, it would be so much better for us all. Because at least then we would know that he's an incoherent bastard, and we could have him locked up.
And that's just a taste of what Bruce and I got up to last weekend. Come and join us next weekend, Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. To get the stream details, go to fourthestateradio.com. That's fourthestateradio.com.
Somewhere in the soul of Agnes, there is a karaoke artist just busting to get out. One of these days, we're going to be all highfalutin, and we'll have webcams, and you know, you can see her when she's sitting there bouncing in her chair. Why wonder? Gidget produces a radio show, you know. Let's go to Japan and talk to our good friend Robert. Robert, I'm sorry you had to wait so long. Thank you very much.
No problem. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself, sir?
Very good. Very good. Just to talk about the coal dust, the issue we have here in Japan is that of dioxin.
Oh, yes.
And it's really, really bad. I wrote about it in one of my textbooks that I used with my students to get them to start critically thinking about their own country. And in the freshwater reservoirs, dioxin will settle down, and it's hydrophobic. And so it will go to a fish or any living creature. And the levels in the fish are 10,000 to 100,000 times the levels in the water.
You know, that's not a good sign for a country that lives on fish.
No. We use 10% of the world's fish, so this is not good. And I see people are going out there fishing all the time. And I'm thinking, my God, they're eating the toxic stew if they were lucky to get it.
Oh my God! It's all over the world. You know, we poisoned Vietnam with isn't it dioxin that was a component of Agent Orange?
Yes, right. And it led to birth defects and all kinds of problems.
And you know, as far as around here, the issues with coal. Just about every poison known to the mind of man is contained in coal. You burn it, you get mercury in the atmosphere that falls out into the streams. You get acid rain over Canada. You get what Jim mentioned: beryllium, manganese, magnesium, aluminum. You know, and you know it's aluminum. You know, great to wrap your sandwich in. Wonderful container for beer. Sucks in your body on a molecular level.
It's mind-boggling. We gave up coal maybe 30 years ago, pretty much nuclear now.
And where does it? Where does a nation like Japan put its nuclear waste, Robert?
That's a good question. They're trying to recycle it. They're trying to get to that next generation of nuclear power plants and to then reuse it, and then, you know, that way they don't have to, you know, put it anywhere. I actually taught in one of those nuclear power plants a couple times.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. This is I lived up in Fukui-ken. Fukui-ken has 11 nuclear power plants in the prefecture because it's one of the poorest prefectures in Japan.
Yeah, so you put the deadly stuff in the poor in the poor county.
Exactly, and this one was called Ginden. It was over in Suruga, which is maybe about an hour's drive. You do the beautiful drive. It's, you know, out at the top of the mountain. Strange people, though, no doubt about it. The engineers, that is.
Well, I'm sorry. Every time I think nuclear power plant now, I flash on Homer Simpson. They try to keep them safe, but, you know, one little screw up, you know, one little donut sprinkle, it's over.
Well, we've had enough donut sprinkles for the past few years now. And if you have to think, if the Japanese can't have a hard time with it, and the Japanese are utterly, utterly precise about everything they do, they're having a hard time with it, then, you know, you have to say, this maybe is not such a good idea.
But Japan's kind of backed into a corner, though, isn't it? I mean, that's, you know, you're not going to burn coal. Nuclear is what is there. The oil, you know, the oil flow is going to slow to a trickle one of these days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
I understand, Robert, I really do understand the concerns of people who say, well, you know, if we don't burn coal, what do? Well, rule one is you learn to conserve.
Right, right.
And, you know, I think about Japan, and I think of all the, you know, the movie that, there was a movie with Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson a couple of years ago called Lost in Translation. Did you happen to see that?
No, I heard about it, though.
Brilliant film. And it presented a picture of Japan that, you know, I don't think we otherwise would have gotten. But I think about, you know, the giant neon signs and everything's lit up and bright and electronic. That, you know, the pictures you get of typically of Tokyo. And are you telling me that's all nuclear power?
That's pretty much all nuclear power. Yeah. Yeah, we have seen a little bit of, you know, the windmills here and there, but it's just very little solar power. But most people conserve a lot more energy than they do in the States. You know, most people are in small apartments. Water, you know, when they take a bath, they take a bath together. Some people, I've heard, will use the dirty water, carry the dirty water to the washing machine, and then reuse it in the washing machine.
And of course, it's not like you get in the car and commute 25 miles to work either. That's what the public transit system's for.
Right. Yeah, we have lots of good trains, so that cuts down on a lot of it. So yeah, we're ahead in some ways, and not so ahead in the other ways. Like the buildings have no insulation in them. We're still not doing insulation. They can't bend their mind around that concept.
Well, you know, given I'm not that familiar with the climate, Robert. What about air conditioning in the summer and heat in the winter? How profound a need is that? What kind of a strain does that put on the system?
I mean, I'm down on the southern island in Kyushu, so you need air conditioning in July and August. My wife says it's actually hotter here than in the Philippines because of all of the asphalt. Japan had more asphalt and concrete than the United States does. So.
That's depressing. I studied, like we've talked about before, I studied Japanese poetry and in translation, of course, in college. And I think about, you know, the photos and films I've seen of the monasteries and stuff. But I guess once you get outside those beautiful Zen rock gardens, it's a different kind of asphalt garden, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you got it. You got it. There's a... a good book on this. I'll have to find the title and send it to you. But it's talked about how the concrete industry has pretty much taken over the economy and the government. And I guess it's the same with the States in many ways. I mean, certain industries run the government.
And how much is a liter of gasoline going for these days over there?
It's 133 yen per liter, so that's about $1.20. So you multiply that times 4 roughly to get a gallon. So it's over $4 a gallon. I'm good on the math, but it's pretty expensive.
Yeah, I read that as about $4.20 a gallon, or $4.80 a gallon.
Right.
But that also has compelled that some, at least, conservation on the gasoline side of things, hasn't it?
Right. I mean, I just bought my first new car after 12 years here. It's a Toyota Vitz. You don't have these over there. And it's about 21 kilometers to the liter. So it's, I don't know, what, 50, 60, I don't know, miles to the gallon. So, and I only use it on Saturday and Sunday, really. So to do a little driving here.
Let me know when you decide to put it up for sale. I'll take it used.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm 3 minutes maybe from my office. So most people, we live real close to where we work, so the idea of a commute is not really in our mind ever. Cuba did that too. I mean, and that's why Cuba was listed as one of the more progressive countries in terms of energy use, because they just put the people next to where they work, and so there's no commute.
Well, that goes all the way back to, and certainly this is no model for anything, Robert, but the Volkswagen, the first Volkswagen plant as it was conceived in Germany,
uh-huh,
was a city built around a Volkswagen plant.
Right, right.
And
Toyota has the same thing down in Tokyo, I mean, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, I found the commute to be very stressful whenever I had to do it. Even if it's 30 minutes.
Oh, without a doubt. Well, is there any active promotion of conservation in Japan, Robert, or is that something that is by dint of necessity?
It's becoming more of a necessity. I was just looking at a bill from a university, and they were saying we have to start conserving because we spend, I think it's about $100,000, maybe more than that, per year just to heat up the university, which has only 6,000 students, mind you. And so we now have hours that we cannot use our air conditioning in July and August.
But you know, nobody's dying.
Nobody's dying, right. It's hot, though, I tell you. It's not comfortable. But this is what happens when you don't have insulation.
Well, it seems like the rest of the world gets it. What our friend Bo said about we'd need 3 or 4 more planet Earths in order for the entire planet to live like we do here. I was in Alabama and I came back up here, and I went from an air conditioned existence. I mean, there's air conditioning here, but you know, we're in the mountains and don't need it quite so badly. But you wouldn't know it to walk into a public facility. You wouldn't know it to walk into the grocery store or Walmart or the mall or anything like that. And we just do it literally with reckless abandon. And at some point in time, I think Al Gore is probably right. We're going to have to bring it to the forefront of our minds. It's going to matter.
Well, it's going to matter when the electric bill becomes so expensive that you can't use your electricity, and then the store becomes so unlivable or unshoppable that it's abandoned. So it's going to be interesting when the bills get higher and higher and higher, and you know, what do you do? Do you close down a store?
Or you charge more for your goods? I mean,
Then nobody...
I screeched, but it's already happening here, Robert. I screeched when I bought a head of lettuce yesterday. You know, and a cucumber was $1.25.
$1.25, really?
For a cucumber?
I mean, that's pretty. I mean, in Japan, we spend about $1, and that's what we paid. I think it may be even cheaper. And we've had the highest food prices of any country in the world, I think.
Well, it's coming our way, because that little known statistic that I keep coming back to, Robert, from a couple of years ago, for the first time in like 50, 60 years, the United States imported more food than it produced to feed itself.
Really?
And that's just kind of that's a quiet little warning.
It's like one of Joseph's dreams about the seven whatever it was and the camels eating each other, and it was warning. It's a warning of famine.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. I mean, we're getting vegetables from China, would you believe? And I can't imagine why China's exporting food because they have enough people to feed already.
Well, it's all, you know, that's one of the ugly little dynamics of the global market. One of the reasons we imported more food is that we have created a situation in which it is cheaper for us to abuse peasants in Chile and Brazil and Argentina. It's cheaper for us to abuse them and ship their food all the way to the United States using fossil fuel burning vehicles, whether they be container ships or, once they get here, refrigerated railroad cars. It is still cheaper for us to do that than it is to grow our own. Now, that presents a horrifyingly immoral scenario on the production end of it, and a terrifyingly immoral scenario on the consumption end of it.
Well, I mean, if you consider the Chinese situation, they're exporting food that actually could go feed their people, and then that food then becomes more expensive. But, you know, someone's making a buck out of it, so who cares, right? So.
Yeah, that's a dark little, it's a dark little paradigm, but.
Well, I mean, the problem with the food from China is that a lot of the water that they use is, from the people that get the water first are the factories. And so the farmers will then waste water to use that to water their crops. And so you really don't know what's in that vegetable.
Oh, no, you don't. I mean, we've been talking about these sludge ponds hanging over schools and communities and stuff. If it were not for some level of a regulatory scheme, someone would be trying to pump that onto a garden here.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. But anyway, I've got to go. I did donate to that. And I would definitely recommend that other people do as well, because I'm a firm believer in, you know, making sure the world's a little bit better place to live in.
Bless you, Robert. We do appreciate it. Thank you very kindly. Have yourself a great morning, all right?
Okay, have a good night.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. One of the beauties of this program, and this is not horn tooting, because this is what it does for me. One of the beauties of this program is that it gives me an opportunity to extend my mind. Because I hope this isn't boring. As a child, I would sit and look over my father's shoulder as we just looked at maps. And we called it traveling. And I'd play games with my mother, with the globe, where we'd spin it and stop it with our fingers, and go and get the encyclopedia and learn about where it was our finger stopped, and wonder what life was like there. And now, as a 40-something adult, everything old is new again, and I get to think, when I see a story about Japan, I wonder what my friend Robert thinks of this. When I see a story out of Australia, I think, I wonder how this is playing down there, and I wonder what John would have to say about it. I see stories coming out of the UK, and I wonder what Andy and Sue and Stephen are thinking about it. Last night I started talking about the special Ed Schultz, and our friend Bob from North Dakota called in to say that he's been a fat pig for as long as he's been in North Dakota, because that's where special Ed comes from. For all this hooey about how the information superhighway has made the world smaller, but the world is still a mighty big, mighty lonesome place when you get right down to it. There are places you can, I was talking to someone the other night who was talking about moving from New York to Memphis. and speaking to people on the street and having them look up and go, well, you ain't from around here, are you? The world is a mighty big place, but it's a little bit more comfortable place, at least for me, because of what we have going on here at the Head On Radio Network. Wonder what they think of it in Orlando. Wonder what they think of it in Tallahassee. Wonder what they think about this in the Bay Area. Wonder what they think about this in Ojai. Wonder what they think about this in Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee. I have the privilege of being accompanied by a host of experts who are experts because they pay attention to their world and they share it among themselves and we share it among ourselves. And what hurts me hurts others, and what gives me joy gives others joy. One of our listeners' grandson, last I heard, is in a pediatric intensive care unit. And I've been worrying and hoping and in my own way praying. This is our opportunity to connect, the Head On Radio Network is. This is a circle of friends. And I don't care if we get to the point where we have, my friends, 20 million listeners a week. If we cannot maintain that sense of connection, there's no sense in doing it. So that's my pledge. The world is in a mess. America made most of the mess. But the world is in a mess, and we are the ones who can help to affect and bring change, if only we will stand together and realize that we're not nearly as alone as the people who made the mess would like us to believe we are. My heart feels bigger and fuller and more human when I think about the connections that we have by virtue of our willingness to interact with one another. We do it on the telephones. We do it in the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. We do it on the message boards at headonradio.com. We interweave ourselves in a network of mattering to each other. And it matters to me. You matter to me. And you know what? It's moments like this that just make me want to let you know that I'm so mighty proud and blessed to know you. And I thank you for the time that you share with us. I try to do that every night, usually toward the end. But we must appreciate each other. And we must appreciate this world in which we live, flawed though it is, and work to change and correct those flaws and improve it for the next folks coming down the road. Let's take a break for the news. Come back. Your phone calls, well, need I say that they are always welcome? And the number, of course, is 877-443-2366. And I'm Bob Kincaid, and I am proud to say that this is the Head On Radio Network.
Slip down.
This is the Quality News Network. On Wall Street today, stocks are rallying for the second day in a row. We'll have the numbers for you later in our newscast. In Washington, the Supreme Court has ruled in a 5-4 decision that police armed with a warrant can go into homes and seize evidence even if they don't knock first. Legal analysts say the ruling will help law enforcement officials and prosecutors. In the dissent, the minority said this weakens constitutional protections. In Iraq, the number of U.S. military deaths in the war has now reached 2,500. The Pentagon also announced today that nearly 19,000 U.S. troops have been wounded since the war began in 2003. On Capitol Hill, an emotional debate is underway over the Iraq War. In a non-binding resolution, the House Republicans are defending the three-year conflict as a vital way to win the global war on terror. Democrats are criticizing President Bush and his policies. Also on Capitol Hill today, the Senate sent President Bush a $94.5 billion emergency spending bill. The majority funds the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Another portion goes to Gulf Coast hurricane relief. So far, the war in Iraq has cost $320 billion. The Afghanistan war price tag is $89 billion. In Iraq, documents and records seized after last week's killing of al-Qaeda leader Abu Musab al-Zarqawi have led to 452 raids, which killed 104 insurgents. Iraq's national security advisor says that one of those documents is a blueprint for trying to start a war between the U.S. and Iran. In northern Sri Lanka today, a packed bus hit a powerful landmine. At least 64 people were killed and 86 were injured. In Afghanistan, 8 workers on their way to work at a U.S. military base at Kandahar were killed and 17 were wounded when a bomb hit their minibus today. The attack came as more than 10,000 Afghan and U.S.-led coalition forces began a massive anti-Taliban operation. In the Gaza Strip, after recently calling off a truce with Israel, the Hamas-led government has offered to restore the ceasefire. It had been called off to protest last week's deadly explosion at a Gaza beach. Israel denied responsibility in the attack. At the White House, President Bush signed legislation that increases safety for minors. It gives minors a better chance of survival in the event of an accident. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network-quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
President Bush is expected to announce the creation of the world's largest marine protected area today. It covers a group of remote Hawaiian islands spanning 84 million acres. It is home to 7,000 species of birds, fish, and marine mammals. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke says that energy prices are likely to remain high. He adds that there needs to be a close watch on how much they will increase the prices of other goods and services. Once again, he warned that the Fed will be vigilant against inflation. Many of the major airlines will be boosting fares this summer because of fuel price hikes. For example, Delta has increased the one-way domestic fare for first class and walk-up coach tickets by $50. United Airlines says it will eliminate at least 1,000 salaried and management jobs by the end of the year. The cutbacks are part of its efforts to reduce costs. In New York, it appears that former CBS News anchor Dan Rather is in his final days at the network after 40 years. A deal is said to be near that would end his tenure there. Google, the internet search company, is buying its own Silicon Valley headquarters at a cost of $319 million. It had been renting since 2003. Light sweet crude settled at $69.50 a barrel today. And near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 196 points, the Nasdaq up 58 points, and the S&P 500 up 26 points. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
I just feel energized. I don't know about you. Something just feels really, really good about tonight's program. I hope it's doing for you what it's doing for me. 5 minutes after the hour. Now you know the drill. If you wanna get something said, 877-443-2366. You know, one of the nice things about doing a global broadcast, you never have to do the weather. This weather brought to you by the Schminkenfelder Funeral Home. When you gotta go, go to them. There's nothing like small market radio.
That makes my head hurt.
Oh, God. This temperature reading, a courtesy of... And now it's time for the Trading Post. You know, we could do that something like the Trading... I don't know. Maybe that's a way to enter into sort of grassroots... stop it, Bob. There's other stuff out there today. I mean, if you want to talk about the flag burning amendment, does that apply to cocktail napkins?
No.
Yeah, I mean, a flag is a flag is a flag is a flag, right? I mean, you ever seen the little toothpick flags that go in the top of cupcakes?
Oh yeah. So what happens when you throw them away?
You're desecrating the flag. You're absolutely desecrating the flag when you...
Then I know third graders there
is. There are some un-American third graders out there.
Our kids bring them home, though.
No. American flag cocktail napkins? I mean, what... We saw today what happens when you take a bunch of really, really not very bright... so-called conservatives, turn them into judges on the highest court of the land, and let them loose with a 90-year-old constitutional precedent. Do you remember all of that happy hooey when he was doing his tap dancing and his wife was wearing her 58 Edsel suit and bawling and stuff? Are you a racist, Judge Alito? No, not me. But all that tap dancing he did about the respect for stare decisis, I think stare decisis is just keen. Well, that was 90 years of stare decisis that got put down the toilet today by these justices. 90 years. And you've got to understand the background to it. Every time that opportunity arises, they will do it again. Honest to Pete, I think if they could get away with it, these cretins on the Supreme Court would do away with Brown versus Board of Education and declare that that was all a big mistake and it's time to go back to Plessy v. Ferguson. Oh, wait a minute, that's already happening, by Yemeni. Yes, it is. Because you've got school boards all over the country that are setting up segregated systems. Do you remember, what was it, the Omaha, Nebraska Public School District? Going to set up a school based on for the Latino population, and a school for the black population, and a school for the white population. But they're all going to be equal. They're all going to be equal. No, they're not. But when that gets challenged in court, what you're going to find is this constitutional originalism. You know, constitutional originalism is the legal equivalent of King James Version literalism in the Bible. You know, where it says that they blew down the walls of a city with ram's horns. Sure they did. They absolutely did. The sun stood still in the sky because it said, you know, God said it, that settles it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Well, it's the same thing with Scalia and these. How in the hell did they ever get out of law school? The goonies that he works with.
Why, the fact of the matter is, if you look at it dispassionately, you will notice that there is nothing in the original Constitution about freedom for the Negro.
I'm not kidding.
Clearly, equal protection, in, as contained in the 14th Amendment, has been expanded beyond any original intent, any of the original intent set forth by the people who wrote the amendment.
I mean, they actually say this kind of crap. I mean, they get paid to go out on the lecture circuit and do this. Scalia does this all the time.
Well, you know, there is not a... in the Constitution, there is no expressly written right to privacy.
That's because privacy was so sacred to the framers of the Constitution that they figured that if anything they didn't have to write in there, they didn't have to write that in because any moron could figure it out except you, Tony.
Oh, no, it means that there's no right to privacy. Well, except for me when I'm in the shower.
Tony, you can have all the privacy in the shower that you want, buddy, because we don't want to look. I hear that guy's got hair on him like a yak. Oh, coughing up a hairball, are you, Agnes?
That's nasty.
But that's where we are.
Well, you know, the unitary executive.
What? The executive's a Unitarian? I don't think so. I've met Unitarians. You, sir, are no Unitarian. They're nice people. But it goes on and on and on like that.
Well, you know, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that we can't ban flag.
Huh? After a while, you just feel like you just feel like your eyes are rolling around in your head like a little marble trying to figure out where. Acid. Acid is the only solution. You drop enough acid and you can think like Tony Scalia. You can think, or if you want to use the word think, like Alito. Oh, well, stare decisis is very important. Stare decisis is wonderful. Stare decisis, is that the one with the licorice flavor? Oh, no, that's anisette. These people are full-on insane. And I will be very gentle about it, but I'm going to ask that tomorrow night. I can't wait to talk to Bruce Fine. Right after the start of the show. I'm going to try not to embarrass myself. Be very professional. But the Constitution is full of things that these people hate. I mean, we had one dude running for Supreme Court who was handpicked to run against the Democrat who was running a couple of years ago, who was running around saying that Brown versus Board of Education was a case of activist judges. Really? These people in the legal realm, now that they've got these goobers on the Supreme Court, they have become not empowered. They've become, help me, chat room.
Delusional?
No, their pants are on fire. I mean, they're really out of the woodwork. I mean, they've gone all cockroach in the dark, just running around having a high old time.
Working man's been to see him, huh? Is that working out for him?
No, but why do I say all the? Well, first of all, you know that it was the hearings. It was the hearings, and all I respect stare decisis. Say, what? You dirty Democrat! You made my wife cry, and now she's got to. I remember it. And like I said, I do remember Robert Byrd talking about all the handwritten letters he had received, when in fact, it is a stated fact in Washington, D.C. If you sit down and you write a letter to your senator, your member of the House, whatever, it will take 6 weeks to get it through the system. If I drop it in the mailbox today, here in West Virginia, it will take 6 weeks to get it into the hands of my representative. And Robert Byrd came out and just lied and said, I've gotten all these letters. It was physically impossible for him to have received them. But they were handwritten letters written around the dinner table. And these were all letters from people who didn't even know each other, and they all said the same thing. Bob, internet, form letter. They all said the same thing. They said they were so dismayed by the tenor of the politics. And I believe Judge Alito will be a fine justice of the Supreme Court, and I can tell that he loves religion. He said all that. He said all of that. When he could have led, he chose instead to grovel and follow. And it shames me to this day. I would not shake the man's hand. He could have led, and he chose to follow. And thanks to him, we have a guy on the Supreme Court who previously approved of groping little girls in a so-called search without a warrant. And now he's making himself parts of opinions that say that the American home is no longer sacrosanct. Does that hit you with the same level of grief that it strikes me? But that, you know, that's not the only court case that's out there. This is charming, too. A federal judge in Brooklyn ruled Wednesday that the government has wide latitude under immigration law to detain. Oh, just wait. Cue up Deutschland über alles, please. The government has wide latitude under immigration law to detain non-citizens on the basis of, wait for it, religion. Broad latitude under the immigration law to detain people based solely, if they're non-citizens, based solely upon religion. Or broad latitude under immigration law to detain non-citizens solely on the basis of race. Or broad latitude under immigration law to detain non-citizens on the basis of national origin. And you can detain them on any of those things, according to this freak judge in Brooklyn. And here's the fun part. You know, we've been wondering why the Homeland Security Department was building all those emergency alien detention shelters, you know, the old railroad stations in Indiana, and why suddenly out there the government just freely admitted that, by God, they had given the contract to Halliburton without so much as a kiss my butt to the American people. Well, here's your answer. A federal judge in Brooklyn ruled Wednesday that the government has wide latitude under immigration law to detain non-citizens on the basis of religion, race, or national origin, and to hold them indefinitely without explanation. Now, I don't just make stuff up. This is not right-wing radio. The ruling came in a class action lawsuit by Muslim immigrants detained after 9/11. I'm reading to you straight from the story. I apologize. I know you can read too, but damn, you know, just damn. The ruling came in a class action lawsuit by Muslim immigrants detained after 9/11, and it dismissed several key claims the detainees had made against the government. But the judge, John Gleason, I prefer my Gleasons to be Jackie and funny. of the United States District Court for the Eastern District of New York allowed the lawsuit to continue on other claims, mostly that the conditions of confinement were abusive and unconstitutional. Well, you know, you can confine them indefinitely, but it better be a nice place. This is the first time that a federal judge has addressed the issue of discrimination in the treatment of hundreds of Muslim immigrants who were swept up in the weeks after the 2001 terror attacks. I've got a friend who takes issue with me for referring to Guantanamo as a concentration camp. Well, okay. I wonder if he'll take issue with me whenever we talk about, I don't know, what is it, the railroad yard in Kokomo? When it's got a bunch of Muslims wandering around in it? Well, you know, Bob, you can't really call it a concentration camp because there aren't any Germans there. Don't! Let's take a break and come back. We're going to talk about this some more. This is Head On. Does any of this kind of get you a little bent out of shape, a little steamed up, a little scared? This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm scared.
This is Lee Hamilton
and Ron Saracen of the U.S. Capitol Historical Society.
Our Capitol has hosted some of the great debates of our history,
and we're both proud to have served here.
But there is no guarantee that representative democracy will simply continue on.
We all need to ask ourselves whether we're doing our part as citizens,
staying informed, engaging elected officials, and being active in our communities.
It's our history,
and it's also our future.
Get involved.
In the early hours after the tsunami, it was ham radio that was on the air, saving lives. When Florida was ripped by hurricanes, the hams were there. In the critical moments after the attack of 9/11, it was the hams who coordinated emergency messages. When disasters strike, the hams are ready. Ham radio works when other communications don't. To learn how you can become a ham radio operator, call the ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio, at 1-800-326-3942.
Help the Arbor Day Foundation plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. You can make the air taste fresher, breathe as deeply as you please. You create a world of pleasure just by simply planting trees. Adding shade, creating beauty, it's just part of what they're worth. Make the world a better place with trees protecting the good earth. Help the Arbor Day Foundation plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share. Help the Arbor Day Foundation plant more trees across the nation. Plant a tree today for all the world to share.
This is Mike Love of the Beach Boys. Plant trees where you live. Go to arborday.org.
Hello, this is Suffering the Odds, Mind Control Album Volume 1, Series 1. Welcome, stroke victim. Feel free to think for yourself. However, all independent actions from here out will be forbidden. You have had a stroke. Do not attempt to dance. Do not attempt to walk. Do not attempt to drive a car. Use the restroom alone or make a phone call. You will follow the instructions found on this record. Sit there silently and suffer the odds. Please turn the record over. Please turn the record over.
The odds are African Americans are twice as likely to suffer a stroke as white Americans. But there are steps you can take to help beat the odds. Call 1-888-4-STROKE or go to strokeassociation.org.
Join the power to end stroke.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Need no stinking conservatives. Here's Bob Kincaid.
All right, welcome back. 26 minutes, or almost 26 minutes after the hour. We're going to talk about this thing for a little while. We've got a few minutes left before we go to the bottom. The ruling in this case, written by Judge Not Jackie Gleason, although, you know, there's some comedy in there. Muslim, one of these days. I mean, that's the import of this. 99-page ruling. Judge Gleason says, and this is a quote,
"The executive is free to single out nationals of a particular country and focus enforcement efforts on them. This is, of course, an extraordinarily rough and overbroad sort of distinction of which, if applied to citizens, our courts would be highly suspicious." Ouch. Ouch.
Gerald Newman is a law professor at Columbia. Specializes in human rights law. He said, "In the judge's view, the government has the right to detain people indefinitely as long as their eventual removal is reasonably foreseeable." And that's because of the breadth of the immigration law and the powers granted to the government therein. Imagine the powers granted to the government under the Constitution of the United States, because you see, at the bottom of this is a fundamental notion with which I do not agree. That the Constitution of the United States does not apply to non-citizens. I mean, you've heard that all over the media, haven't you? And it just kind of glides by, some right-wing legal scholar from the Right-Wing Legal Scholar Foundation, supported by Richard Mellon Scaife, says, "Well, of course, the Constitution of the United States does not apply to non-citizens." And it just sort of blithely floats out there into the ether. And the next thing you know, people are wandering around saying, "Well, of course, you know, the Constitution doesn't apply to non-citizens." Reap. Yeah. Well, see, this is what happened. This is the kind of conundrum you get when you start engaging in conservative legal theory. Because if the Constitution doesn't apply to non-citizens, the Constitution says there shall be no slavery, but that would only apply to citizens. So, therefore, it's okay. Oh, my God, do you see where they're going?
And, you know, what was the story a couple of months ago that down in Birmingham, the Republican Women's Club, Birmingham, Alabama, or no, it was Tuscaloosa, Alabama, the Republican Women's Club was doing a fundraiser by selling Anchor Babies, where they took Latino-looking baby dolls and dressed them up and put a sign on them that said Anchor Baby, because they were opposed to the fact that if you're born in the United States, you get to be a United States citizen. I remember it, too.
What a maroon. What an ignoramus.
They would be hilarious if they weren't. You know, there were people who looked at Hitler's little mustache and said, you know, he's a funny little Charlie Chaplin wannabe. Oh, they're a funny bunch. They're a funny bunch. Take a break. You've got 23, 25 minutes or so if you want to get anything off your chest. 877-443-2366. This is the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham. The AFL-CIO's Steve Coyle says the Labor Federation and its partners are creating a $1 billion investment in New Orleans to develop affordable housing, creating a double bottom line positive impact.
And that is, we try to get competitive return for our investors on the one hand, but create community benefits and union jobs on the other hand.
The American Federation of Government Employees is concerned that there may be no future for the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. The commission oversees discrimination cases in the working world, and according to Andrea Brooks, the AFGE's National Vice President for Women and Fair Practices, the current commissioner is reorganizing the commission into the ground. The already understaffed EEOC, currently under a hiring freeze, plans to open two new offices and is seeking to offer buyouts to seasoned employees.
When you get rid of the employees, you get rid of people who know what they're doing, then you are not available to the public to take their cases of discrimination.
Brooks explained what she believes is the thought process behind the reorganization.
We're going to take away every regulation that protects the American worker. That's what the thinking is. They know that there continues to be problems of discrimination. They're just not going to address it. If you don't have an agency charged with addressing that concern, then you cannot alleviate the pain and suffering that people have.
New York's Civil Service Employees Association and New York Teachers United are pressing the state legislature to override the veto of a bill that would allow 30,000 home child care workers to form unions. Republican Governor George Pataki vetoed the measure. The unions say that child care workers in New York work 12-hour days for low wages. The UAW is shifting $110 million over 4 years from its strike fund to put into politics and organizing. Vowing to continue efforts to organize Toyota, Honda, and Nissan's U.S. plants, UAW President Ron Gettelfinger said at the UAW convention in Las Vegas that the UAW has not lost its fighting spirit.
We're not going to surrender. We're not going to lower our sights, give up our dreams, or give up our fight for a better world for our children and grandchildren.
Here is today's economic report. A Harvard study suggests that there will be no housing bubble pop, but more of a disappointing fizzle. The study suggests it will be disappointing because homeowners hoping to make bank on property are likely not to see the high returns they originally wished for, and those hoping for a crash so they can take advantage of rock-bottom prices are likely to see prices stagnate at a lower but still high price.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds.
24 minutes before the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On a Thursday evening. Shucks, I guess it's even evening on the west coast of the North American continent now. All right, I'm not letting go of this story. I'm not done with it. Because the inherent in the government's position, my God, it can't be the government. No, it's not my government. The government that my family fought and bled and died for would not do something this evil. It's the Bush administration, right? Well, not really. Not if you're paying attention. Some scary stuff over at the 12th Harmonic blog. If you go, you can link to it through headonradionetwork.com. A little list that's linked there of people who are Democrats who just happen to be happy as a clam lobbying for, corporate polluter causes and stuff. It was a little disheartening. Go have a look. But no, this case... Again, you sort of have to imagineer yourself into the courtroom and hear the case being argued. The federal government, just based on what I've read, judges don't just sit there and rule on stuff. You know, it's constitutional stuff. There has to be a case. There has to be a there has to be a controversy. It has to have justiciability. It has to have standing. It can't just be, hypothetical. Case in controversy, okay. The judge, as I said, wrote that the executive is free to single out nationals of a particular country and focus enforcement efforts on them. He wrote that because that had been asserted by your government. Judges don't go out and find law if they can just bogart it out of one side's brief. The executive is free to single out nationals of a particular country and focus enforcement efforts on them. Your government made that argument. Lawyers that you pay with your taxes stood up in front of a judge and said, Your Honor, the president has the right to order that any non-citizen he wants can be imprisoned and put there until he damned well feels like letting them go. Of course, they don't speak plain English in courtrooms.
They speak highfalutin polite. They're very polite in courtrooms. And they talk about things like capital punishment instead of killing people. And they talk about the war powers of the executive instead of talking about the right of a crazy little pig-eared, jug-eyed maniac at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue to order at a whim that Tomahawk cruise missiles be loosed from destroyers and submarines and aircraft and sent into mud huts 8,000 miles away and turn little bitty babies into goop. No, we're much more polite than that. We won't talk about that in a courtroom. This decision is a green light to racial profiling and prolonged detention of non-citizens at the whim of the president, said Rachel Mirapol, a lawyer for the Center for Constitutional Rights, which represented the detainees. The decision is profoundly disturbing because it legitimizes the fact that the Bush administration rounded up and imprisoned our clients because of their religion and race. Well, Rachel, honey, I appreciate what you're doing. But you just coming around to that, sweetheart? Damn. I'm just a simple, lowly little talk radio, conversation radio host. And I done figured that out without having to take the corn cob out of the moonshine jug. Today it's Muslims, Jews. Shall we try Jews? It's American Indians. No, we did them. Scots Irish.
We eat potatoes and drink. You know.
Gleason went on to say that the Supreme Court had repeatedly held that Congress and the executive branch, in exercising their broad power over naturalization and immigration, can make rules that would be unacceptable if applied to American citizens. See? What did I tell you?
Oh, these rules don't apply to American citizens. We would never dream of rounding up an American citizen just based upon his race or his country of origin or based upon his religious preferences. We'd never dream of doing that.
Really? Any of my African-American friends care to call in and talk a little bit about a little something called driving while black? This is Gerald L. Newman said it doesn't seem to limit the motives the government has to have in being slow in removing them. It could even just be basic neglect.
You go with your strong suit. Negligence.
Negligence. They got negligence. The Bush administration is down with negligence, baby.
Yeah, it's only a district judge's decision. I understand that. It can be overturned on appeal.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's good. Oh, no. Because you got to remember, time travel. Sherman set the Wayback Machine for Clinton administration when, Republicans in the Senate held up appointment after appointment after appointment after appointment of judges to the district court and judges appointed to the circuit court of appeals. Oh, yeah, Lord God, Billy Bob, yeah. Wouldn't let them have that up-or-down vote. You remember the up-or-down vote, don't you? The up-or-down. Every judge deserves an up-or-down vote unless it's Harriet Myers. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Be afraid. Be afraid, little chat room. Be very afraid. Be afraid, wing nuts. Lurking little punks. Be very afraid.
Because Hillary's going to get these powers too, sunshine, and they're going to put you behind the fence. Don't bend over reaching for the soap, baby. Hillary's coming for you. The decision encourages the government to behave this way without fear of financial liability. This, again, is our friend Gerald L. Newman, law professor at Columbia. This interpretation is attackable even among other judges in Brooklyn, let alone Lower Manhattan. And God knows not on Christopher Street. Jesus. This is terrifying. Non-citizens. Non-rights. Wait a minute. I guess the Polish Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto were non-German citizens, weren't they? I guess the German Jews who had been good Germans got turned into not Germans almost overnight as a function of, what was it called, the Enabling Act. And the next thing you know, some very well-dressed men using very nice Hochdeutsch are sitting around a little place called Wannsee. And they're using polite little words like Final Solution. Oh, see, there you go, Bob. Daggone it. You can't talk about Republicans that sooner or later talking about Hitler. What's wrong with you? And the same thing is, I hear liberals saying that we cannot compare the Republicans to Hitler because it's just not fair to the Republicans, and it diminishes the horrors of the Holocaust. Well, okay, if it's going to diminish the horrors of the Holocaust, I won't compare Republicans to Hitler. And then when the Holocaust comes for the Muslims, you get my meaning. There he is, Pastor Niemöller, all over again. When they came for the trade unionists, I said nothing because I wasn't a trade unionist. When they came for the Catholics, I said nothing because I wasn't a Catholic. When they came for the communists, I said nothing because I wasn't a communist. When they came for the socialists, I said nothing because I was a socialist. And then when they came for me, there was nobody to say anything because everybody was all gone. I could not believe it. When I read this story, I'm going to go and read the real opinion if it's been put online yet, and I'm going to read the polite language, the sterile legal language. See, that's the problem with our legal system. No lawyer has the right to look at a judge and say, you know, you're a freak. You know that scene. What is it with me in movies? One of these nights, I got to try to get Roger Ebert on the show. We could have a blast. You remember the movie Mr. Roberts? Henry Fonda, Jack Lemmon, James Cagney. And that point in time where Mr. Roberts has just had it up to here, and he looks at that ugly little martinet played by James, brilliantly by James Cagney. He says, listen, I know that the United States Navy was desperate to have somebody to captain their ships, but they had to be really fishing around the bottom of the barrel when they got you, Buster. Mr. Roberts, that's it. You know, because lawyers become enamored of their nice lives and their good money, and nobody would ever, who was a lawyer, have the nerve to look at Judge Not Jackie Gleason and say, you know, Your Honor, you're a little fascist freak. This is where you come in. Don't want anybody to do anything. But, you know, if you hear, you know, if you read stories about judges doing this kind of thing, you know, if you run into them in the grocery store, you know, you do have the right as an American to say, what in the hell were you thinking, you freak? You low-life America-hating... But I guess the final word on this comes from David Cole, a law professor at Georgetown University. He said, what this decision says is the next time there is a terror attack, the government is free to round up every Muslim immigrant in the U.S. based solely on their ethnic and religious identity and hold them on immigration pretexts for as long as it desires. We saw after 9/11 what the government did in an era of uncertainty about how far it can go. Judge not Jackie Gleason has essentially given them a green light to go much, much further. Yeah, there's the fun part. They can even lie about it. They wouldn't lie with it all. Break time. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Do something different. And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a doll.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
Hello, this is Guy James, host of The Guy James Show. If you like factual, hard-hitting, liberal radio, yes, I said liberal, then I believe you'll like our show. We're a proud member of the Head-On Radio Network, heard Monday through Friday, 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time at theguyjamesshow.com. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Back just in time for me to say goodbye, or good night, good evening, good morning. Hello, planet. I'm Bob Kincaid, and you guys have made it a wonderful evening. Thank you very kindly. So you've got a nice little nightmare to sort of wander on over and listen to Malloy by. This story out of Brooklyn. You know, because you know what the next pretext is. I mean, I had no sooner been on the radio in Beckley a couple of weeks before some guy called up and called me Al Kincaida. Well, you know, he's probably one of those Albanian Muslims, you know, them people that used to be Christians before swore Christ, their family did 700 years ago. He's probably a Muslim. Well, you know, okay. And this opinion says that, you know, the government can screw up and, oh, we thought you were a Muslim. No, we thought you were a non-citizen Muslim. We're sorry. Well, we're not really sorry. We're not even going to take... Where is he anyway? Which camp is he in? You see where all this goes? Sure. My God. Well, sorry for the late bummer. My lovely wife, my darling wife, Agnes, produced the program tonight.
Blush.
She looks great in a pink chenille robe, by the way, I gotta tell you. The show was announced by Brian Reznor, our chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network is John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org manages and maintains the stream and the archives of all the programs on the Head On Radio Network. He's got a fundraiser going on. Help him keep the lights on, please. He's not going to send you a bill. It's up to you. Now, as you know, every night, these shows, Bruce's show, the shows on the Head On Radio Network come to you because there are thousands of people who belong to the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights, and they get up and they go to work every day, and they are building the American dream. And by supporting this network, they are saving the American dream. Join us tomorrow night for a conversation with Bruce Fine. And always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.